I have moments when I swear I'm never going to make the same mistake again, only to, you know, promptly forget all the lessons learned and proceed to dig myself into a hole yet again. Like the time, not too long ago, when I went on a date with a guy, and I'm telling you, after an hour, I couldn't wait for the date to end. But once the date ended and he told me he wanted to go on a second date, I started to second guess myself. I was like, maybe I'm just being mean. People are always saying I'm kind of mean. Maybe I'm just having a bad day. I mean, he's a very nice person. Maybe I'm just extra irritable today. So I said, sure, why not? And then commenced 3 months where I proceeded to talk myself into giving this dude a chance, even though I really wasn't into him. I didn't trust my gut. I did not listen to myself. Honestly, it was all the voices of people throughout the years who have told me, I'm too picky. I need to give people a chance. I need to be nicer. And then one evening, we parted ways after an event, and I felt super relieved, like I could breathe again. And a friend who had been at the event told me, dude, you actively avoided him for 2 hours. That's kind of weird. And I was like, yeah, no, this isn't gonna work out, is it? But I knew that. I had known that the very first day when I couldn't wait for the date to end, when I knew I wasn't, you know, attracted at all, and I was forcing myself to be nice. I should have just called it then. I know this has probably happened to you in some form or another. Those times where you didn't trust your own judgment, and this self-doubt keeps getting in the way of your dreams, goals, and actions. You are listening to The Breaking, a podcast that challenges you to muster the courage to destroy old stories keeping you stuck so you can live an authentic creative life. We destroy darkness with light. We blast mountains before building bridges. We take down our egos to collaborate, and we destroy old narratives to heal our wounds and create new stories or solutions. Creativity takes courage. Courage to destroy and courage to create. My name is Tiara Menavar. I'm a filmmaker and creative in the process of destruction and creation. This is the breakdown before the breakthrough. Welcome to episode 7 of The Breaking. I'm Tiara Menavar, your host. And in this first season of The Breaking podcast, we are breaking free from the performance, how pretending to be good blocks our gifts, creativity, and authenticity. Episode 7 is called Directors, Dare to Call the Shots. If you usually wait for someone to give you direction or permission or make a way for you, then keep listening because we need to talk. The episodes in this season build on each other, so if you haven't already listened to the previous episodes, I encourage you to take some time to do so. I'm using this idea of performance in season 1 as a metaphor for how we show up in the world. If you're in an actual production of some kind, you kind of have no choice but to do what the director wants. So we're just using it as an illustration here. Today, we're going to break down how we need to trust ourselves so we can start directing and calling the shots in our own stories. Remember, every act of creation is first an act of destruction. Here's to better and more useful stories. Let's get into it. You're now going through rehearsals, and the director is telling you exactly what she wants. You have some ideas, but you keep them to yourself. I mean, no one has asked you anyway, and your ideas will probably get shut down. You have to remember to just stick to the script, so you focus on getting the lines right. You hit your cues. You go to rehearsal. You keep the director happy. There's this story in Hebrew scripture where the Israelites are in the desert and God is trying to talk to them, and they were like, no thanks. This sounds really scary. We can't handle it. Can we send a middleman? Hey, Moses, How about God talks to you and then you tell us what to do and then we will obey? Because if God keeps talking to us, we're probably going to die. What I find interesting in this story is that these people were invited to hear something for themselves, but they preferred to hear it secondhand. And so we have the beginning of a lot of secondhand accounts. We end up reciting stories, parables, and fables that are passed down. We have a culture and society that's always looking to the past. It is built on tombs. We have their stories, their biographies, their ideas. But if they had access to God and genius, why should we be any different? Yes, of course, we can learn from the past. I'm not saying it's useless. All that wisdom is priceless. But at the same time, why can't we have an original view of the universe ourselves? We can have our own poetry and insights and wisdom. We can also have the opportunity to contribute as they did. But this requires that we trust that we are allowed to do this, that we can also participate, that not everything has to be secondhand accounts. We can also create our version of originals. We look back on all these ancient people who seem to know things and be connected in more special ways, but the truth is they were humans who were also trying to figure things out and would get lost from time to time. There's this person in the scripture called the Apostle Paul, and he is very respected. But the ancient scriptures tell us the story of how he had times where he was just going around in circles, and he had to pivot along the way. And apparently, he was like super connected to God and had answers or something. But still, even he was confused sometimes. But he kept moving, and in the moving, in the action, the next step would be clear. Directors are people who make decisions in films and productions. They are the people who are calling the shots. They act. They don't sit around waiting for things to happen. They make things happen. They lead the way. And the thing is, directors don't have all the answers or all the information. They have to do things with a little faith and a lot of trust. They move in a direction. They go to the next step, even if they don't know how it will turn out. And this requires trust. At some point in your life, I'm pretty sure someone told you or made you feel that you couldn't trust yourself. Ironically, the people who have told you you can't trust yourself are people who make decisions for others and are also very decisive for themselves. They seem to trust themselves to be right. So if they trust themselves to make decisions, why can't you? Who are they? We're all human, so what makes them so special that you can't also access wisdom and knowing for yourself? Sure, there are a lot of wise people, but you can also be wise. Of course, it takes time. Of course, it takes learning. But you can learn that yourself too. For a long time, there have been gatekeepers, people who have denied other people access. People throughout the centuries have been denied access to education, information, opportunities, and learning. But those things have been changing, and now we have access to information, and we're connected to so many people and have more opportunities. There are a lot less gatekeepers these days. But the sad thing is now we have become our own gatekeepers. Yes, to some degree, others might have played a part in how we form our own, limiting beliefs. But wherever the stories come from, they have done a good job in making us believe that there's a gate that's closed when we can at any time choose to walk through if we had the courage. But we deny access to ourselves because we don't have a little faith in ourselves. The director is basically sort of a boss on set or, in a production. So let me tell you about the worst boss I've ever had. This boss wouldn't trust me. They never recognized all the work I did. They just kept me busy, really busy. Always questioned my ideas and dismissed them as stupid. This boss would bother me at odd hours, wouldn't let me rest, expected me to work insane hours, and never rewarded me. This boss was the worst listener ever. Super dismissive and always, you know, distracted when I asked for my needs. So many crazy expectations and still unbelieving of my capacity. I wasn't allowed access to resources. This boss wouldn't let me call any of the shots. No confidence or faith in me at all. And it's exhausting because the worst boss I've ever had is myself. I know you've heard that you should treat yourself the way you treat your friends, but have you ever thought about how you're the director of your own life? And if a director is a boss, you'd never work for someone who treats you like you treat yourself. Side note, if you do work for someone like I described above or treats you like crap, do not put up with that. I think there are some of us who just put up with a lot of abuse. That's just a side note and that's a whole other discussion, but most of us would not work for someone who treats us like we treat ourselves. Imagine working for someone who never trusted you and berates you at every turn, a boss that makes you paralyzed to take a step in any direction for fear of getting it wrong. So, who would your dream boss or director be? Well, of course, someone who compensates you well, someone who trusts you, gives you freedom, a boss that sees what you're capable of, a boss that wants you to have fun and has the faith that you will get the work done. This boss would recognize good effort. They would give you access to the resources that are available to you. A good boss would trust you. So start being your own dream boss now. Employ a little trust and stop being your own gatekeeper. You don't have to rehearse anymore. You had your last session with your acting coach. The props, costumes, and masks were returned. The script was set aside. You left the audition line and sat down in the director's chair. Because it's now your turn to tell your story. So, how do you break through and start restoring trust with yourself? Are you even allowed to direct your story? Well, for one, you can start with learning from what you call your quote-unquote mistakes. We've all said it before. Man, if only I would have listened to myself, I wouldn't have gotten into this mess. I should have known what my body, my mind, my heart knew the first day when I couldn't wait for that date with that one dude to end. But the interesting thing is that those hiccups are the ones that make our voice clearer if we're paying attention. Think about the jobs or projects that you had that were soul-sucking. Without those, it would be difficult to discern what actually brings you deep joy. Those hurdles along the journey, you know, the ones we wish we could erase from our memories, they're what help inform us into a better direction. This is why experience is so important. I know we've been told, just listen and learn so you don't have to experience this, so you don't have to learn the hard way. But since when was learning easy? Since when is living life not a hard thing? Where do we get this idea that we're going to get an easy pass for the path of life? Yeah, some things we have to learn the hard way. And there are no shortcuts. And of course, I'm not saying there aren't things we can't learn from other people's mistakes. I mean, obviously, we can't ignore that. There's, you know, really good information out there. But there are much more things that we ourselves need to go through just because it's part of the journey. You can sit in a room and theorize all day about what you should do next. You can listen to people tell you what you should do with your life. But if you never step out to do or try anything, you'll never have any proof or evidence that helps you trust yourself. Taking action builds credibility and experience with yourself, and that is something no one can take away from you. And so even with the things that don't bring us the results we necessarily wanted, they are still very useful results and give us very important information. It all belongs in your story. We all have a deep knowing within us. Our thoughts, emotions, and actions are great information of what we know. And once you take steps, you will see patterns that begin to emerge. You'll start seeing what brings you to life, what drains you of energy, and as a director of your story, you'll be able to start calling the shots, even if it's only by faith. So what does it look like to step into the director role? You know, when you're the one leaving the audition line, giving back the script, you no longer need the props or the acting coach. As a director, you're now the one in charge of your story. In episode 1, Auditions, I told you a story about how I wanted to be chosen as a storyteller. For the year, I traveled through South America, but that didn't happen, and so I decided to choose myself and keep making videos. But there was this moment when I was in Iquitos, Peru, when I realized I could take it further if I really wanted to. I was asked to do a video project when we being the group I was traveling with, when we were in Peru, and I reached out to some of my friends who had video footage so I could, you know, put something together. I remember one of my friends who was one of the chosen ones, chosen to be a storyteller, and we were in a coffee shop and I was transferring the footage to my computer and they were telling me how overwhelming all the feedback and mentorship was. There was just so much to remember and practice and pay attention to, and they were going on and on. And I just looked at my friend and said, "Do you realize that everything you're describing is literally the kind of mentorship I really want? You're complaining to the wrong person, because I wish I could have someone teaching me like that." And my friend was like, "Oh, right." But that got me thinking, well, what's stopping me from reaching out to these mentors and asking for some feedback? And then I waited for 2 months before I gathered up enough courage to reach out to someone and ask for some feedback and mentorship, because I felt like I wasn't even allowed to ask. You know, maybe I was burdening someone. But what got me over the edge was, well, if they say no, I'm still in the same place I've always been this whole time, with, you know, no help at all. So I literally have nothing to lose. So I reached out and someone answered, and I actually received some valuable help and feedback in the following months. What I find fascinating about this story is the fact that it took me so long to ask. And this is a pattern I've seen throughout my life, not being able to ask for what I really want because I felt like I wasn't allowed to ask, or it wasn't right to ask. I don't know if you've ever prayed, but something I've noticed recently is that even in the most secret and personal spaces where it's just me and the divine, even putting my true ask out there is scary. We've prayed for things like wisdom or direction or practical things, but what do I truly want or need? Sometimes it seems too small or frivolous. Sometimes it's too large and selfish. How is it that even this most intimate space has been invaded by what other people have told me I'm supposed to ask? I don't know, maybe I'm the only one who feels like there's like some sort of literal judgment by something or someone. If I ask for what I truly want, it seems like I'm imposing, aggressive, or like a burden to someone. You know, and we put this judgment on ourselves of like, oh, maybe that's not like a really good prayer or something. I don't know, maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm the only one who has this problem. Who knows? But this is how you can start directing your story. The act of asking for what you want is an active choice. To sit back and wait to be invited is passive. The director is not a passive role. They make decisions, take action, and move the story along. Of course, there are times to be still. There are times of waiting and patience, you know. We need both. We need both action and stillness. I'm not just saying just run and don't stop. But as a director, you're the one calling the shots. You're going to be saying, oh, it's time to slow down. It's time to rest. But you're the one, you know, you're the one deciding that. I have a theory. I think some of our most important prayers do not come in the form of words, but in actions. These are the prayers where we can see what we are truly asking for what we really want. It's as simple as someone watering their garden is a prayer for, you know, good vegetables or herbs. Someone taking care of their children is a prayer for their growth. Someone working on a creative project is a prayer for its flourishing. Someone working hard at school is a prayer for a better future. And someone taking steps to eat better and move is a prayer for better health. You're the director, so where's this story going? What are you asking for when you call action? Yes, of course, there's a time for contemplative prayer. And we need times of silence and reflection because that informs our direction a lot better. But maybe that's why there's a verse that says, don't stop praying, because there are prayers that live on our lips and in our hands. Both contemplation and action are needed. What are you asking for when you call action? Where do you really want your story to go? You are the director of your story. You are the captain of your ship. And I know this may seem a little scary, but it's true. You're the one that steers your boat in whatever direction. You don't have control of the weather. You don't have control of what the waves will do. You didn't design the land or islands you sail around, but your job is to steer the ship. And the more faith and trust you have, the more you'll be able to open your sails and go for open water. Good directors are collaborators. They are problem solvers. They call the shots, they make decisions, and they listen. Not everything can be controlled, but they can be in charge. They work with others around them to make better stories. Did you know that you can trust yourself and have a little faith? Be a good boss, a good director to yourself, one who trusts the process, the hard worker, one who listens to ideas, rewards good work, one who doesn't deny access to knowledge and resources, a director who trusts your intuition and sets you free of judgment, a boss who doesn't say no and closes doors on you before you even get a chance to get started. Don't wait for someone else to come and direct your story. Start calling the shots today. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed episode 7, and as always, I encourage you to reflect and maybe take some time to journal about some of the questions that were asked in this episode. I'll be sending out the reflection questions as journaling prompts in my email newsletter, and I'll also post them on my social media and website, so you can find them whenever you need them. All the links to those places are in the show notes. Honestly, it makes me sad when I realize how mean I am to myself. And it's so hard to change these habits. But journaling is a great way to start overhearing your self-talk. It's a perfect way to start becoming aware of how your inner boss or director is treating you every day. Next week is episode 8, Ads and Promotions. You are not a poster. And we're going to break down how conformity holds our creativity back and how maybe a little rebellion is in order. It's going to be an interesting one, so tune in. I can't believe we're almost done with season 1. Episode 10 is going to be the finale, so we're getting close. If you've enjoyed this and if you have found value in any episode of the podcast, please share with a friend, spread the word, and give The Breaking a review on iTunes. There's more stuff over at the podcast website, thebreakingpodcast.com, and sign up for the newsletter if you haven't already. I'm starting to add book recommendations, especially the ones I use for these podcast episodes. All right, friend, thank you so much for being here today, and I will talk to you next week. Stay curious and courageous.